This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. This is the season, for another couple of weeks anyway, of summer travel, of journeys to postcard-worthy destinations. If you're a certain kind of traveler, maybe climbing on a tour bus for some guided sightseeing is a thing you do. As it happens, our next story is about a very particular kind of guided tour, one whose passengers aren't tourists hoping for a good shot of, say, the Golden Gate Bridge, but rather they are executives from one of America's biggest companies trying to find their way around the ever-changing consumer landscape in this country. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark is going to take you along for the ride.
All right, everybody, on your magical mystery tour.
I'm sitting in a pleasantly air-conditioned charter bus, surrounded by lots of polo shirts and button-downs and other forms of corporate casual.
You guys also have sunscreen if anyone wants any.
Worn by members of the upper management team from Lowe's. You know, the big box home improvement chain.
I'm the chief supply chain officer.
Director in marketing consumer insights.
General merchandising manager for seasonal.
All these people, and about a dozen more like them, have just flown to Los Angeles from Lowe's headquarters outside Charlotte, North Carolina, so they can get on this bus, where, at the moment, we are driving down a potholed, not very picturesque street. Everybody's necks are craned toward the windows. They've been told to keep their eye out for something. And soon enough, they spot it. A black building with the name Habitat painted in big white letters.
Where is it?
Habitat.
Habitat is a new coffee shop in the area. But for the purposes of this bus tour, it is so much more than that. It is a sign that this urban, working-class neighborhood we're driving through is on its way to becoming cool. And why do a bunch of suburban box store executives care about urban cool? Well, here's one of my busmates, Tanya Franklin, Lowe's Director of Market and Consumer Insights.
Last fall, actually all of last year, we were trying to really reevaluate how we look at consumer trends and just some of the shifts taking place among consumers, not just how they shop, but also how they live.
And more to the point, where they live, because recently it's been changing.
People moving back into the city, inner city rings are really evolving.
For years, inner city rings did not show up on the radar of a mass retail giant like Lowe's. The suburbs, big generic shopping malls, those were the best bets for finding lots of customers with money to spend. But the suburbs are getting poorer. And that holy grail of retail demographics, the millennials, they are flocking to gentrifying neighborhoods like this one that we're driving through right now. Leaders at Lowe's realized they needed to get a better handle on what makes this new generation tick, which is why they're on this bus.
All right, guys, so take notes, please, so we can relay our experiences to the other team.
The guy helping the Lowe's team get a handle on this is Stefan Pascalidis. He's sitting at the front of the bus, pointing out the window at what, to an untrained eye, might just look like a fairly run-down urban street. But Pascalidis is helping his passengers see it differently.
So guys, this is an interesting mix of the old and new, with, you know, two juice shops. So you know it's gentrified when there's two juice shops.
Pascalidis calls himself a cultural insights consultant. His company, Now Plus One, takes big corporate brands, Clorox, Frito-Lay, and today, Lowe's, on tours like this one. He calls them insight immersions.
Think of us as storytellers slash translators slash guides.
Each tour for each client has a specific theme. He's done the concept of masculinity for Pepsi, the concept of realness for Purina. And then there's this Lowe's tour, all about the changing demographic landscape.
So you'd recommend the...
I'm going to get the banh mi because I love a good banh mi.
We stop for lunch in one of the hottest urban neighborhoods in L.A. these days, Highland Park, at a restaurant called Good Girl Dinette. It's got a shiny orange counter and exposed brick walls. Pascalidis describes the place as comfort food with Vietnamese flair.
So, guys... Sorry, may I have your attention?
This place, Pascalidis tells his group, reflects what he calls the cultural hybridity of Southern California. And then he explains what a banh mi sandwich is. The manager of the restaurant comes over, a young guy with a beard, and Pascalidis takes the opportunity to mine him for information.
I just wanted him to tell us a little bit about this place and the neighborhood and the kind of folks who patronize this place.
It's a wonderful smattering of people that have lived here since before any of us were born, and then newbies like me who just moved to the neighborhood and just are yearning for something that feels like kind of real and sincere, and this is like as real as you can get.
One of the Lowe's executives jots down "real" in his notebook. They got handed out at the beginning of the tour with a list of questions to consider for each stop along the way. Like, what role does comfort food play in an urban environment? What about the restaurant's aesthetic communicates its culinary intent?
Okay, so what do you write here?
Troy Daly, a senior vice president at Lowe's, let me look at his notes.
I was just talking about eclectic food combination. He was talking about a lot of artsy folks come in, and so the vegetarian and vegan was the selection that really thought brought those in.
Daly says it's not like Lowe's is planning on suddenly getting into the food business or anything.
From my standpoint, it's really getting to understand the customer outside of our world.
After the restaurant, we get back on the bus.
Why are you walking this far for there?
Most of the team agrees the banh mi sandwiches were delicious, though.
A lot of garlic.
The tour lasts 8 hours. We go to a DIY woodworking shop where they teach people how to make their own wooden spoons.
You can kind of feel here, those are the tool paths that are left by the mill.
We stop by a new condo development that Pascalitas explains is redefining the concept of community space.
I know you guys have some unique things, including a private dog park and a vegetable patch. Is that correct?
At the stop where we meet a successful real estate guy who tours us through a house he's just flipped.
Steve is one of the sort of real estate innovators in this area.
It's all about
authenticity and integrity. Authenticity and integrity. Does that make sense?
I don't know what you mean by authenticity.
Authenticity, so in the homes that we do, so I use like the nice materials. We use the marble. We use the nice hardwood floors.
By the end of the bus tour, our heads are buzzing with buzzwords meant to evoke what the 21st century urban consumer wants. Some folks are stealing naps at the back of the bus. At one point, we drive down another street in what may or may not be an up-and-coming neighborhood, and Lowe's chief supply chain officer, Steve Szilagyi, pipes up.
Saw a yogurt shop back there.
Yogurt shop.
A for effort, but the yogurt trend is kind of over.
Yeah, the yogurt trend is way over. We have gotten Chrissy Clark in the studio with us to talk about that piece a little bit. First of all, Chrissy, welcome back to the show, I guess.
Thank you.
How did you get on that bus?
So, funny story. Yeah. I was actually invited to go onto the bus as an expert.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, which I did, that was not my role in the end. But as you know, we did this series last year about Highland Park and about changing urban neighborhoods. And
York and Fig.
York and Fig, yes. And Stefan Pascalitas, the tour guide, he had run across that series as he was doing research for this Insight immersion that he was putting together for Lowe's. So he emailed me and said, hey, you know all about how urban neighborhoods are changing. Can you join us and share some of your insights with these Lowe's people? And I said, I'm a business journalist. Yeah. I'm not a business consultant. No, I respectfully decline that invitation to be an expert. But I did say, God, I would love to be a fly on the wall and see how this all plays out and do a story about it. So they said, sure, come along. And it was such a vivid illustration, not just of the fact that the demographics of urban neighborhoods are changing and suburban neighborhoods are changing, but how businesses like Lowe's are scrambling to learn about this change and to capitalize on
it. So what have they done? I mean, Lowe's is a big store. Where have they, you know, put this into practice?
Yeah, well, I called them this week to say, you know, can you share any of the things that have come out of this? They said, well, that's proprietary. We don't want our rivals to know about that. But you can already see the ways that they're responding to some of these changes. They're about to open their first store in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
And then they have a second one that's going to be coming out in a couple of months. So clearly, and when I spoke with the CEO briefly on the tour, he was like, we need to be thinking about urban neighborhoods.
Wow, that's like a Home Depot in Manhattan. Get me back to York and Fig for a minute. The series that Wealth and Poverty did last year up in Highland Park, which is part of where you were for this thing. Have you been back?
Right. So just to remind listeners, or if they didn't hear it, we did this series last year where we actually opened up a little news bureau, a little pop-up bureau in Highland Park, this neighborhood that was undergoing a lot of change from a working class Latino neighborhood to a sort of hip urban neighborhood like the one we were exploring. In the last few weeks, we've been checking back in with some of the folks who we met back then, and we've actually compiled a little podcast that revisits some of the original coverage we did last year and some updates on kind of where they are now. So you can get that at marketplace.org/YorkandFig. We'll also be doing some stories over the next couple of weeks looking more deeply into how the neighborhood has continued to evolve and what neighborhoods like Highland Park and other urban neighborhoods around the country are doing to try to respond to some of these changes and preserve some of the culture and the people that are kind of disappearing from these places.
Because that was one of the things we saw last year in your reporting, is that the people, you know, who had been there for literally generations weren't quite sure what to make of this.
Right, exactly. And so we have some interesting stories about sort of ways people are trying to adapt and push back to some of the changes.
All right. She said it once, I'll say it again, marketplace.org/YorkandFig, right?
York and Fig.
Chrissy Clark. Thank you, Chrissy.
Thanks.